Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome, everybody. We're here live. Man, it started working all of a sudden. That's awesome. So good to be with you. I'm trying to text everybody right now to let them know that we're on right now. So give me just a moment. Be right back. Give me just a moment. We'll be right back. I'll be right there texting everybody right now, letting them know. All right, I thought the system was broken tonight. Yeah, all of a sudden it's working. Hallelujah. It's great. All right, everybody, we are on. Praise God. It has been broken for the last almost hour, and then all of a sudden it started working. Hallelujah. I was even trying to set up a show on the other network, my old one, the one that the other guys use, and I couldn't even get it to work. So, all right. Awesome. All right, this is really great. All right, we're running late tonight, but let's see what I'm going to do here. I just want to share something, right? Right. Okay, give me just a moment here. I just kind of like moved on, so it's awesome. Yeah, I want to share something tonight that that I got today. That's why I wanted to be on tonight. I had something great I wanted to share with everybody. And it's like, what a disappointment that was. But we have made it, so praise God. All right, so I'm going to give people just a moment to get on because I just let everybody know that we are on. So we may not have too many tonight, but oh well. Whatever, we'll work it out somehow or another. Let me go through my notes here. I have brought a lot of notes today on all kinds of things. So I want to talk about AI just for a moment. AI is the big thing everybody's concerned about, taking over the world and that kind of thing. And, I've just realized today that they got AI going, let everybody know it's kind of out there and experiment with a little bit of it. And then they all of a sudden, what I've seen is they try to shut it down, like, oh, we're going to shut it down. And I realized today that that's probably a strategy that they're using, to get something out there a little bit and then shut it off and go, if you really want me, come and get me, something like that. Yeah, people do that sometimes in business and whatever. So I don't know, but I wrote a note about that today. And, you know how they just, all the people who were into AI, you know, pumping it, and, you know, it's really getting out there, and then all of a sudden, boom, they go, we think we're going to shut it down somewhat, or, you know, tune it down a bit. And I think that was just kind of a little game they were playing, you know. I don't know for sure, but it's one of the thoughts that went through my head today. So I wanted to share that with you a little bit. And I got so much I want to share tonight. Let's go to Jeremiah tonight, and I want to share a little bit about Jeremiah. Let me see if I can send this out. Let me just open it up here. Open up your Bibles or your computers to Jeremiah. We're talking about Jeremiah tonight. I got some really cool stuff on Jeremiah. And some things, very personal stuff, things that I think have to do with the prophetic realm in general. And so I want you guys to walk with me through this tonight. We're going to be walking through some scripture. So get ready for that. All right, I want to share. This is kind of a personal thing for me personally, but it's not just for me personally. So when I say, you know, this is what I believe, you know, God had called me to or I'm part of, it is also for those of you who feel called to the same thing, right? So, yeah, just get a hold of that and know that I'm not just saying this is about me. But I have some things I want to share with you about this because it's really, really important to know that you know, what you have to do sometimes to activate your calling or to become part of it or join in with it and agree with God on it. And there's some, there was a movie I watched, you know, I don't know, years ago, like maybe, I don't know, 8, 10 years ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. It was one of those Hercules movies. I don't remember the name of it, but Hercules, this Hercules guy, his father was like some kind of a godlike guy. And he'd, you know, was in heaven or something, and Hercules, before he became Hercules, are y'all ready for this? Hercules, before he became Hercules, you know, struggled with his, you know, he had inherited that from his father. It was in his genes, but he kept saying, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. I want to be normal. I want to be regular. And then one day he got in a skirmish with somebody and he was about to be killed and he knew he was going down, right? He knew he was going down. So they cried out. And the big thing was that even though he knew that it belonged to him, you know, the supernatural Hercules type power, but he kept rejecting it. But he knew that if he just would, he was told that if he would just come into agreement with it, and go, okay, I am this, you know, I am Hercules or whatever the name of the guy was. And so when he was in that situation where he was about to die, and he realized that the only way he could win was to have something more powerful than what he had in the natural realm. And so he cried out, I am Hercules or whatever it was, you know, and all of a sudden the lightning, you know, crashed and flashed and slashed and went everywhere. And the power of God, the power came on him, and then he won the battle, right? He won the battle. And so this is something I think that we struggle with. I've struggled with this for years, you know, resisting the prophet calling, resisting being a prophet, resisting the whole thing about the prophet, because I just didn't like prophets, you know, the prophets that I saw, the ones I've, you know, heard of in the Bible, and a little bit I knew about prophets. I just didn't really like prophets, you know. I thought prophets were a bunch of trying to, you know, take down everybody and mess with everybody and, you know, always straightening everybody out all the time. And I didn't want to be like that, right? I don't be like that. I wanted to give grace. I didn't want to bring judgment and that kind of thing. I wanted to bring grace. And so I resisted it. And every time I would feel that thing rising up within me, I would resist it. I would go, you know, I'm not gonna do that. I don't want that image. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that person. No, I refused it. So I want to be a healing evangelist, right? To bring grace and mercy and be an evangelist who gets people saved. And I was an evangelist for years in the streets, preached in the streets and ministered in the streets for years. Went one-on-one. I went door to door, you know, didn't have a group I was with. I just did it on my own, right? A little town I lived in, my hometown, actually. But you got to try doing that in your hometown sometimes. Yeah, that's quite a little trip, to say the least. And so anyway. So I think I'll talk about Jeremiah for a minute. That's what I'm going to do. So I want you all to join in with me as I do that, but I want to prep you with how this happened to me, and maybe you can relate to somehow or another and connect to your calling, connect to what maybe somehow you're resisting it. Maybe you wanted to be a miracle-working healing evangelist, you know, like me. That's what I wanted to be, Captain Coleman. And because I was resisting it, though God was using me, I wasn't happy. It wasn't flowing for me. I was struggling. I was like constantly going, God, you know, am I really called to do this? That's what I did constantly. And so he gave me, you know, some supernatural signs and told me I was definitely called to the five-fold ministry. You know, which means, you know, you're dedicated and set apart. You know, I was going to preach either way, but you know, being a five-fold ministry person means that you're called by God to shepherd the people one way or the other. You're a shepherd prophet, shepherd pastor, shepherd apostle, whatever you are. And so I was struggling with that and kept, you know, feeling, I don't know if I can describe this or not. I kept, when I'm in my prayer time, I'm very aggressive in prayer. I have an Indian tongue that puts the hair up on the back of some people's neck, you know, when I get to praying that, because it might have been Hebrew. I thought it was Indian, but it could have been Hebrew. And because it sounded like an Indian chief, you know, I mean, I'm talking about going to war. Like, oh, yeah, you know, it was like heavy. And when I get in that mode, God forbid that anybody be around, you know, because it was so aggressive, not going after people or anything. I don't, you know, misunderstand. I was just, you know, it just came out of me powerful and strong and, you know, violent, you know, like aggressive, you know, and I mean, it was like, it came out a river. And so, you know, and I'm hearing myself do this stuff going, my God. So that part of me knew that there was some part of me that was like that. That was like a warrior, a mighty warrior, right? You guys felt the same thing before. You have that thing of you. And yet other times I would be gracious and like a little lamb, you know, going along. And then all of a sudden, you know, the lion thing would manifest. And I find myself going back and forth and saying, feeling this thing about a prophet. I didn't want to be a prophet. I didn't know much about prophets, but I truly want to be one. And because of their aggressive nature and their, you know. So anyway, long story short, finally one day, you know, I started, you know, the Lord kind of took me through that same thing about that movie I saw. He said, I just want you to say it. I need you to say it. I need you to say it out loud. I need you to come into agreement with me that you are a prophet, not a healing evangelist. You are a prophet. I need you to say it. I need you to say it. And so I started, you know, it was like, I am a prophet. And I mean, it was hard to say it. It was hard to think that I was giving myself over to this strong, you know, aggressive nature of dealing with sin and unrighteousness in a way that was like, you know, and yet there was the other side of me that was just so like a little lamb, like a, you know, gentle and kind and forgiving and loving and knowing that I've been a sinner. How can I ever, you know, and so it's that dual nature inside of me was just going at it. And so, you know, it was very difficult to deal with. And so one day, the process I went through, this was a few years ago, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I remember exactly. It's when I started getting information about the Antichrist and, you know, the market information, when I started moving into that realm about in 2005, maybe 2006, 2007, I started realizing how real it was that I had moved into a supernatural position with God. Somehow I did that. And, you know, when the angel visited me in 2005, you know, then the supernatural took on a whole other level, which I'd never seen before, and that was, you know, the market realm. And so, man, I mean, it was just unbelievable. Some of the stuff, information I was getting was just, like, shocking, and shocking people that knew me and, you know, that, you know, people that got to know me and saw that I didn't really know anything about it, and yet God was speaking to me clearly about some of it. So, you know, I began to become aware of there's something more to this thing that I'm feeling called to do than just being a healing evangelist. You know what I'm saying? It's like it started becoming like, you know, like real to me, and the power and the authority of God and the secret information that God was giving me of things I wouldn't have naturally had a clue about. And he started giving to me on a regular basis, you know, not once a month, not once a year, not every other week, you know, all the time. It started happening regularly. And so I started wrestling with that and going, okay, so I think what I was wrestling with was that, can I be, I know me, I know I'm just a regular old boy. Can this really be happening to me? That was a big struggle. Not that I didn't believe God could do it with somebody else. You know, I knew he could. You saw it in the Bible, you know, but could he do it with me? Because I know me, and me, I don't know, me, I'm just me. And I'm not that. I'm regular. I'm less than regular, I think, in many ways. And so I just was wrestling with the fact that, you know, and then it started happening. You know, then, you know, when the angel came to me, and then, you know, and then all of a sudden I entered into this mysterious realm of information, and it started getting people's attention. You know, people who had been around, people who had been prophets, you know, around the globe, and, you know, been around and been out there a little bit. And so they, you know, kind of started noticing a little bit. And, you know, then when I started noticing how they were noticing it, and they would say things to me like, well, we didn't know that you did this. And I was going like, well, I really didn't until recently. And so, you know, I mean, that's how it really, and these are people that have been around. Big time, you know. And so, you know, anyway, so I'm starting to go, okay, this is becoming real. This is becoming real. How real? How real? I don't know. Is it 30% real, 60% real, or 100% real? I just didn't know. I couldn't get over it. It was just overwhelming. And then when he, in 2007, when he gave me the market information, when the market was going to crash, you know, when the global market crashed in 2008, he showed me that in 2007 and started writing things up before me. He started showing me things and dreams and visions in a way that I've never seen them before, ever. Not like that. I started accelerating in 2007, maybe 2006, 2007, 2008. And then he wrote before me the name of the Antichrist. And then I had a vision dream of the Antichrist and the casket being opened and me with the sword and the devil himself showing up and demons crying. I just never had that stuff, y'all. Never had anything like that happen in my life, you know, on a regular basis. It's happened on a regular basis. And then I'm getting confirmation of all this stuff and just over and over and over again. And then I go to Israel, and just getting there was a miracle. And the way the money came in was miraculous. And when I got there, then I met this Palestinian who we rode in the car with to Lebanon to have a meeting with Benny Hinn people. And he said, let's pray. And then I prayed, like I always pray, in English and tongues. And he said, oh, you know Hebrew? And then he told me, you know, my language was Hebrew. I'm going like, really? What was I saying? And he said, I was saying things like Christ is being exalted right in the Father. And I went, really? Oh, my God. You know, and I knew something's going to happen to me when I went to Israel, but I didn't know what because of my calling there. My visitation of Michael had a visitation. You know, I had a dream vision of Michael, the archangel, and all of a sudden I'm, you know, I'm kind of like going, man, this is either really real or I'm just losing it. That's what I was going through. It's just, this is either really real or Chandler is on his way out to the loony bin for sure, right? And believe me, I've had people, my own wife even call me delusional, you know, and, you know, so I've had people, you know, I tend to draw that thing, you know. You're just, you know, because it's either they got the other devil or of God. It's kind of like, you're my husband. You're a regular guy. I know you. You're not of the devil. But that's just, you know, that's just not God. I mean, that can't be right. You can't be getting all that stuff right. Something's going on. And so it was just, you're delusional. and then correcting sin in my family, privately, by the way, it was done privately. And then stuff was going on, and it was happening, and it was going on all over the place. And then when I, you know, got PGN, we got PGN happening, and, you know, we're starting to get on and do some stuff and have a little studio and that kind of thing. And things are kicking up to another notch. And so, so today I'm sitting here, you know, wrestling with, you know, what to share with people and, you know, about what's going on right now with me and what's happening with PGN and with you guys. Okay. However you connect to this, I don't know. You have to connect to it however you can. But Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm going to start right here, and we're going to talk about this. And we only have a few callers in tonight anyway. I think everybody else probably gave up on us. So we will document this, and hopefully it'll be good for going back and to listen to it. Okay, I'm going to go to Jeremiah 1. The word of the Lord, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. All right, so he was probably a Benjaminite. Jeremiah was in the land of Benjamin. Benjamin, the Benjaminites are right-handed and left-handed, you know, like the whole, you know, the Benjaminites themselves, they're, you know, they're right and left-handed. They can do right-hand and left-hand stuff. They're very talented warriors. And so Benjaminites could fight with the right hand and the left. In other words, they were double blessed. In the warfare, Paul the Apostle is a Benjaminite. You will see it in the scripture where he says, you know, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, and so it's talking about Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to him. He's a Benjaminite. Or he's in the land of Benjamin, it says here, to be clear, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year. Let's remember that number, 13. In the 13th year of his reign, of the king's reign, of the king of Ammon. It came also in the days of the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, Josiah, when Jerusalem went into captivity in the 5th month. All right, here we go. Right here, I want you to watch this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I want to stop right there. Well, let's just read a little bit more, but I want to come back and get this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. All right, let's look at verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I got to really share with you guys how I identify with this to a certain degree. And I want you to identify with it too. And I want PGN to identify with this so we can kind of grasp this thing together. Before I formed you in the womb, in other words, before the seed and the sperm came together, before your mom and daddy actually got married and had sexual love and, you know, that you were conceived in the womb. Before that, when you were still in heaven with God, you were spirit only. You had no body yet and no soul. You were spirit. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So God knew Jeremiah, you and me, before we came to this earth. So I want you to get this tonight, because there was a knowing. So when you get born again, what happens is that you start connecting to the knowing of God that you knew before you came into this earth realm. My sheep know my voice. Before I formed you, God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, before you ever left heaven to go into your mama's womb, to seed and sperm, and all of a sudden, boom, you were gone. Your spirit man left and went to, you know, you were conceived in the seed and sperm, in the egg, you were in the womb. Before you went there, before you were... I was your friend. I knew you. Adam knew Eve. It was, you know, when God knows somebody, it's intimate. before I formed you, before you ever left heaven to come in your mama's womb, I knew you. We talked. We loved. We fellowshipped. I knew you. So that's what happens to us. When we get born again, we come alive from being a sinner to being a born-again believer, because your spirit man already knows the Father, but when you got into your mama's womb as a sinner, right, you were born in sin, you were born in darkness. Immediately you were born in darkness. So all that knowing God just kind of like went blank with you. It went dark. You see what I'm saying? Anybody getting into this though? It went blank with you. It went dark, right? Because when you went from heaven and you went slid that little tube and you slid down, you, however it sounds, into your mama's womb. There you were. And then, you're not even crying yet. Right? You're just a little bitty blob, a cute little blob, I'm sure. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So when you came into the womb, when you slipped through that little tube, as some people say when they die, they go through a tube or something. Whatever that tube is, I don't know, but I think it would come in the same way. And so so what's happening is he went from light, from knowing God, right? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In other words, you were with me in heaven before you got sent down to be a prophet, you know, go to your mom, be a little baby and grow up, your mommy and daddy and all that. You know, you knew me. You were in the light. And then all of a sudden, you went through that tube, you got into the womb, and you were born in darkness, right? So when you get born again, this is what happened to me. I think it's different with everybody, but I think the process is basically, the overall result is the same. Now, how it all happens exactly is different for everybody. So I want you to walk with me through this the best we can, and I want you to identify with the person, because this is not just me. This is every born-again person, especially if you have a calling of God in your life, you know. So when I got born again, I've told you all this many times. I mean, I was 20 years old. And when I got born again, I was so full of darkness. I was so full of hate, so full of, you know, whatever, just misery. And when I got born again, for the first time in my life, I knew love. For the first time in my life, I knew love. I knew it. I was experiencing love on the inside from Almighty God, which made no sense to me at all because I couldn't figure out. I remember weeping and crying and putting my heart, my Bible in my heart and going, God, how do you love me? How did you love me? I was so messed up. I'm just so, you know, I used to F word everything. I used GD and blankety blanking and, you know, smoking dope and doing stuff and fornicating and even committing adultery. I committed adultery as a heathen and got married young and got a girl pregnant and married her and then committed adultery on her. And I was just a mess, man. I was just a mess. And all kinds of things going on happened to me as a kid. People, you know, coming at me from every direction, trying to defile me, you know, and I'm talking about all kinds of people and all kinds of situations. You know, it's just, you know how it goes. Now the devil just comes after you. And so, I mean, I was just dirty. I was nasty. I was like full of hate, and you know, even I was a regular person. You couldn't know that by looking at me, but I would just be friendly with you. We'd be buddies, but inside I was hurting, you know. And so when I got born again, all of a sudden I knew God. I mean, I don't even know how did I know him. I don't know, except whatever happened to me when I cried out and said, you know, I need to know you're real. I need to know you're real now. When he birthed me, it's like, I just knew him instantly. I knew God. Just like that. Boom. I knew God. And I knew he loved me. I felt it. I experienced it. I walked around with it every day in my life. And the other thing that I did is I felt clean and pure for the first time, because I felt so nasty, so dirty, filthy, stinking nasty, that I was just like, you know, like in a pigsty, basically, and just, you know, doing all kinds of stuff and just like, I never was a homo. Never did that. So all you homosexuals out there listening, yeah. Bless your heart, but I never had that problem. But you know, they did just about everything else. You know, drugs. You know, you name it. And so I'm just messed up. And so when I cried after God, I was so desperate. And when he came into my life, all of a sudden, I got birthed. I didn't know at the time. He birthed me. I was birthed by God. I'm a baby. I'm a God baby. I'm a child of God now. I'm a God baby. God just somehow did it, man. And I mean, I knew him. I couldn't explain how I knew him, but I knew God. See, because before I came into this world, before darkness entered my spirit, when I got into my mama's womb, like everybody's does, my mama was a good lady, but we're sinners, right? So when you go from that little tube to slide down into your mama's womb and you're conceived, you know, you go from light or knowing God. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. And you knew me. Oh, my God, what is this? And that's exactly what happened to me when I got born again. I just realized, I know God. How did I do that? You know, how did that happen? How did I all of a sudden know God and know that he loved me? It was just mind-boggling. It was staggering my mind. I could not grasp it. I would constantly just question him. How can you love me? How can you love me? You know, you're talking to me. You know me. You know me. Nasty, dirty, filthy, foul mouth. You know, sexual drugs, cussing. You know, respectful to my mama and daddy, and just like, you know, it was horrible. And some of you were worse than that. You told me. So I don't know. I don't know how you did it. I did it. I did it pretty messed up. But man, when I got born again, it's like I knew God, man. And I realized today when I read this today, I just got this today. I realized because I was reading this that, oh my God, when I got born again, the God that I knew in the heavens, when he said, before I formed you and even you and went into your mama's womb, I knew you. All of a sudden I realized that knowing God, like I knew him in heaven before I ever came into my mama's womb, was alive inside of me. And now I'm going like, I know him. I mean, and I did. I don't know what your relationship is like. I think everybody has a little bit different way of knowing God, and whatever you needed, that's what you got. But that, for me, was the important thing, that I was loved, and that I knew God, and that I knew he loved me, because I literally knew it and felt it. I didn't have to have somebody convince me and do faith confessions only, the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. Man, I just talked myself out of it. You know, I couldn't even talk myself out of that, much less talk myself into it. Would y'all follow me tonight? And so when I read this today, I actually heard somebody mention the scripture on YouTube. I listened to YouTube today, and, you know, just the first 3 minutes of it, this person said this, and I went, okay, I turned it off, and I got to go get into that scripture. For some of that scripture, I got to go there. I knew the Bible, you know, Jeremiah, I knew the scripture, what it said, but I just kind of wanted to go look at it. So here's what I did, and this is what this is tonight. I'm explaining to you what's happening. And so it goes on and on. We're going to talk about the whole thing, but, you know, a lot of scripture tonight. And so we're running late, but, you know, I decided that, hey, whatever, I want to share this with you, because this is deep in my heart tonight. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, before I formed you, I knew you. Before I formed you in your mama's womb, I knew you. So he was saying, Jeremiah, you're going to know me. You know, but I knew you before you went into darkness, before you became a sinner, before you became, you know, an innocent baby sinner. And I knew you. And so I chose you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, is the next part of the verse. Before you were born. So before he was actually born, came out of the womb, he was known by God before he even entered the womb, right? His spirit man entered the womb. And then after he entered the womb, it says, before you were actually came out of the womb, when you were formed and made after 9 months, he said, before you were born, in that time, in that 9 month period, I sanctified you. I set you up. I guess he couldn't do that until he got him in the womb. I think he began to make Jeremiah as a eight month old in the womb. You know, he's 8 months in the womb. Somehow he was, you know, setting him apart, and the things that whatever God talked to him about before he came into the womb, before he came into the womb, God obviously knew him and knew what he was and talked to him about what he was going to do. It had to be. It had to be like that. When he was in the womb, growing, being knit together in the womb for 9 months, God was setting him apart. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So this was all done before he was ever even a twinkle in his mommy and daddy's eye. Before he came to earth as a blob in his mother's womb, the product of seed and egg coming together, conception, he was a prophet, and God had obviously already talked to him because he said, I knew you were a prophet because I sent you into your mama's womb as a prophet. And while you were in the womb, growing and being knit together and going from being a blob to being a, you know, full-grown, you know, baby in the womb, ready to be birthed. And then he says, I ordained you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now look at this. He doesn't say to a nation, to Israel. Right? He doesn't say to a couple of nations or to, you know, a group of people or to the Jewish people. He says, I ordained you a prophet to the nation. Now, I'm taking this very personal. This is all personal to me. Every bit of this stuff that I'm reading to you is what God has told me before, all right? And I know this. And today he just kind of like, for some reason, he's wanting to declare and decree this over PGN. And maybe that's why the late thing happened, and maybe it's on a few of you tonight. I don't know. But I'm declaring, decreeing this tonight. I'm documenting this tonight because I want this to be out there in the heavens, in the earth realm, released in the earth realm, and also as a testimony as to what is about to unfold in the earth through Randy Chandler and through PGN, however we're all involved together. All right. Yeah. So however we're all involved in this, however you're involved in it, that's why I want you to not just know that I'm talking about me here. I am talking about me. I'm talking all about me. This is all stuff about me, but it is hopefully, and however you acknowledge or and connect to it, that you will do that. All right. So I know now, I didn't know then, now that God had ordained me as a prophet to the nations, to the nations. So if I'd have thought that before now, I would have probably went, well, that means I need to travel like one of my friends I'm talking about that I know. I've known for years. Became good friends with them. And, you know, now I'm not right now because they got kind of just distanced through the merchandising stuff. Yeah. But so back then, you know, so that's what this person did, traveled. Told me I was going to be a evangelistic prophet, a prophet. Evangelism, a prophet with evangelism calling, basically. That's what she told me. So I go, okay, whatever. I didn't really know. It didn't matter to me. I just know it's called. That's all. But he said, I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. So had I thought that before, I would have been trying to get out to the nations and travel the nations like she did and do like that and go like, you know, that's why God connected me with them. I would have thought that, but it's not true. But it was true to a certain point. But he says, I haven't just called you to the United States or to kind of have some shows and hopefully maybe two or three nations, two or three people in every nation will, you know, connect and become part of PGN and whatever. No, he said, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. In other words, every nation. It didn't say every nation here, but it's the nations. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he said he offered him all the world and the nations and their glory. Right? Yeah, he offered him all that. And so there's something about that that God wants to take care of. And so he ordained Jeremiah, even though he was mainly in Israel, prophesying to Israel, warning them that they were going to be taken over by Nebuchadnezzar. And they didn't listen, that he was mainly ministering to Israel, God says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And the same thing with me. Exactly the same thing with me, to the nation. In other words, when in this season, I want to get this out and make this plain. As Israel began, they started the war on October the 7th on my birthday, which also says, before he formed me in the womb, I made you to go to Israel and be a part of Israel. That's just one of the many things, but the main thing is Israel, because that's where it's all going to start and that's where it's all going to end. So I'm very connected to that because of Michael, the archangel, who's the head angel of Israel, and he's, you know, connected with me. My first spiritual language was Hebrew. I found out years later from a Palestinian Jew who got saved. That, you know, the Palestinians, all the troubles of Palestinians right now, that they're talking about all the time. The Palestinians are mad, everybody, you know. And it was a saved Palestinian who asked me to pray. We were driving to Lebanon, and he said, in Israel, and he said, you know, you want to pray? And it's, that guy was a Palestinian who got born again, which will tell you, if a Palestinian, all the trouble Palestinians are talking about right now, which, whatever, you know, when they get saved, they just like you and me, they start talking about Jesus. Hey, you want to pray, man? Hey, your tongue, that's Hebrew. You know, let's talk about Jesus. It just totally changes it. It doesn't matter who they are, what they are. He was a Palestinian Jew, who his main language was Hebrew. And so, you know, so all my connections that I have in different ways that God has shown me over the years, and then the fact that the war showed that, you know, here in verse 5, he's saying, you were birthed, I formed in your mama's womb for this purpose. And this is something that I'm declaring tonight, that for me personally and for PGN, that we are called to the nations, and that nations thing hasn't really begun yet, a little bit, but it is about to begin. All right, so get ready for that, because I've been ordained, because I'm ordained for that. I'm not just ordained by Christ for the nations, and I was ordained before that, actually, and ordained. I got ordained by Christ for the nations because my prophet friend, lady prophet friend, told me, you know, she suggested to me, didn't tell me, she said, have you ever thought about going to Christ for the nations? I went, yeah, I have. But so I went to Christ for the nations because it was a nations thing. And so she said it to me. She was a well-known prophet of the nations, you know, and so I went because of that, to connect to the nations. That's the reason that I went there. And so, and so yet at the same time, the ordination that I have from Christ in the nations is global, but at the same time, my ordination is from God. God has ordained me as a prophet to the nations. So that has not even really begun yet, maybe a little bit, but it is as the Israel war broke open and the seal was broken, I call it seal, was broken. And on my birthday, that happened, and God says, you know, even though he knew that I knew, happy birthday, Chandler, look what happened in Israel. I'm going like, oh, God, they declared war. Oh, my God. And it's like he was, you know, happy birthday. Like, I said, that's not a very happy birthday. People being slaughtered. You know what I'm talking about. Like, kind of like that, you know, like, you know that that's not what I'm saying. Because I was trying to distract a little bit, you know. He's my friend. You know, God is our friend, right? He's our friend. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's sovereign. He's all that. But he's still, I know him, and he knows me, just like you guys. You know him, and he knows you, right? So I talked to him like that. And, you know, his voice go, oh, you know what I'm talking about. But that's in me. I knew. He's going like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Happy birthday, Chandler. Like, surprise, another confirmation for the nations. Mainly to Israel, because Israel is the nation of nations, as far as God goes, and where it all started, where it's all going to end, and prophetically, it's extremely important. So he was saying to me, okay, you know, the Antichrist name was given 3 days later, you know, the red heifer shows up in Israel, still there, still red, everything's good there. We knew the people, and so now the Antichrist can come forth. You know, isn't it strange that we get the name of the Antichrist? After 10 or 12 years, and then 3 days later, the red heifer shows up in Israel. 3 days later, we on October the 4th, we made the purchase of the gold and silver, and then 3 days later, the war starts. I don't know, 3-day thing seems to be pretty cool. So I'm going like, my God, this is amazing. On October the 4th, I was looking at all at documentation today when we're about to go to the film just to make sure I get all the information exact. It is October the 4th. Transaction was made. Final thing. Done. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And then just like after gave the name of the Antichrist, 3 days later, the Red Heifer shows up in Israel. Get by the gold and silver. 3 days later, I wake up with, happy birthday, Chandler. You see, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know. It's just scary. I mean, I love it, but it's scary. I'm, you know, like going, fear and reverence of God is something that's wonderfully scary. And so that's how it is with me on that thing. So okay, here I am going like, okay, God, okay, I'm awake, yes. I know, I'm ready. You've been training me for years. You did it on my 70th birthday, of all things, you know, 70, a big number in the Bible. And I'm going like, that was awesome, God. You waited till 70. Hey, you can do it on 69. It had to be on 70, right? Okay, gotcha. You know, whatever you say, whatever you want to do, it's your thing. You've trained me. You built me. But here's the thing, friend, is that I have been made for this. You gave a word years ago about Israel's stock market. Yeah. Right, I did. And I don't think I understand all of it at that time. But, yeah, I don't understand everything. I'm just being real honest with you. I don't understand everything. But yeah, see, all this stuff has gone on for years, but I didn't really know, even though I knew that I was called to go to Israel and have a play a big role in what goes on with the temple and what goes on, you know, around the nation of Israel and prophesying. I'm going to be prophesying over Israel and over the nations. That's what the tribulation time is for me personally, is about, you know, prophesying over Israel and over the nations. Because I'm called to the nations. So we're not just prophesying to Israel. We're going to be going to the nations. However God gets me there, I don't know. Whether to, you know, get on the airplane, passport, and go there, or how he transfers me, or both. I don't know. I really don't know how it's going to happen. But the calling is to the nations, because we're going to be going to, like, Russia, China, anywhere God wants me to go. I'm either going to be transported there and do what he tells me to do, and or we'll fly there, and it'll all be, you know, I really don't know. I don't know. We could take people with us. I'm not sure how we're going to do it exactly. But I might have an airplane. I really don't know. Yeah, hang on a second. I'll be right back. So this whole thing about, you know, the nations and all that, because we're going to be traveling, you know, somehow from nation to nation, bringing the nations to repentance. You know, I told you the two witnesses thing, I'm going to be helping them. And so, actually, I don't know if I'm going to be helping them. I don't know how I'm going to be helping them exactly. All I know is that I'm going to be doing something similar to what they do, either with them or maybe they'll send me. I don't know. All I know is that I already know this. I've known it for a long time. But since the late 80s, maybe the early 90s, maybe even before that. Yeah, it's been a long time ago, many years ago. And I just thought it was crazy. Yeah, right. One of those things where you just kind of like tuck it in there and go, okay. So here what's happening is that, you know, that time has come. You know, in other words, it happened on my birthday. That's why this Jeremiah word, I formed in your mother's womb. In other words, you were birthed. Before you were born, I sanctified you. In other words, when it happened on my birthday, it's like, see, the thing I've called you that you were born to do and be, it's upon you. At 70 years old, I'm healthy and strong. I feel like a 50-year-old, maybe a 40-year-old. I don't know. I take on some of y'all, you know. I could probably outrun you, outdo whatever you, lift weights you. Maybe, I don't know about lifting weights. But anyway, I don't want to provoke any challenges right now, but very good shape, really healthy, really strong. You know, far as I know, I'm doing really good. And so, you know, I have, I have, I haven't told you everything about the two instances yet. I will eventually. About the dream I had about being in Bethlehem, and when they showed up, and I haven't really told you my full opinion about all that. So it's really, really exciting, and I'm very excited about this. I'm so excited that, you know, I can't even hardly stand. It's just amazing. So pray for me that I will, you know, I don't know what to pray for me. Just, you know, pray whatever God does. Right? So, I wanted to come on tonight. That's why I was so disappointed when I couldn't come on. So I wanted to talk about this with everybody on, right? So maybe for that reason it didn't happen. I really don't know. They can all listen to it later. So what's happening is, y'all, is that, you know, when you realize the very thing you've been born to do is now upon you, it's like in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was, you know, saying, hey, you know, I've got some, you know, great idea. Can we let this cup pass for me? I got some other things that we can do, you know, and he had some great ideas. I'm sure, I don't know what they were, but he said, Father, you know, can this cup pass me, please? And the Father goes, you know, no, we got to do it now. So Jesus three times yielded to it. And that's kind of what you go through when you're doing what you're born to do. You know, there's a lot of things you do that you do because you're born to serve God. But there are some things that you're born to do that you don't do until a certain time. So you can do a lot of things before you reach that time of what you're born to do. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, did a lot of things before he actually did the thing he was born to do. So you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that you do that are God, that's God's will, that is before you actually enter into that place of doing what you have been born to do. Right? So it's important to understand that. It's not like we sit around twiddling our thumbs until it comes time to do what we're born to do. There's all the preparation. There's all the work. There's all the glory of working for God and doing God's will and doing God's work. And so it's extremely exciting, y'all. Extremely exciting. You can tell that I'm a little excited.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And I'm having fun doing it. There's so much revelation. I'm getting so much revelation right now. It's unbelievable. The time is upon me. Us. Time is upon me. I'm thinking about where Jesus went into the temple, hang on a second, just a bit of it. All right, so Jesus went into the synagogue, right, and he had to tell them, Luke 4:18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that's what we all got to come to that place, y'all, where you stand up and say before the people, it's not a selfish thing. It's not, you know, me, although it is about me. You've got to identify with your call. You got to catch it and acknowledge it before people. That's kind of what I'm doing tonight. One of the things I'm doing tonight, I'm standing before the people tonight, though there's a few of us, and I'm saying to you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I'm describing to you what he's calling me to do. Like, and some of it's like Jeremiah. Some of it is like Elijah. A lot of it is like Elijah, and some Moses, and kind of a mix of different things. And so, but Jeremiah is definitely part of it, because one of the things that we find out was that God had called him to pull down and to destroy, right? You look in verse 10, you see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So the part of the prophet I didn't like was the rooting out and pulling down. Even though I know it's necessary, you know, in teaching and that kind of thing, I just didn't like the prophet thing about that. Now I understand it. Now I love it. To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant. Okay, you know, like Michael is going to very soon, Michael the Archangel will, according to Revelation chapter 12, will cast Satan down. That has not been done yet. That has not happened yet. Because when it happens, the Antichrist will be manifest pretty soon. And so we're not at that phase yet, although we're getting very close to it. All right, so Michael is going to cast, he's going to root out and pull down, if you will, Satan out of heaven. So as a prophet, we do some of the same things. We root out and we pull down and destroy and throw down. And yet, at the same time, here's the part that I like. We build and plant. Right? I want it to be a builder. I want it to plant. I don't want to be tearing down stuff. Let's build. You know, because I didn't really understand it exactly. My image of a prophet was all they do is go and destroy everything, you know, and God tells them to do it, but I don't want to be a part of that. You know, I want to build up and plant. Well, now that I know what God has called me to do and I started to understand it, I'm starting to connect to that it is actually, you know, a beautiful thing instead of what I imaged it or thought about it. Right. So that's in verse 10. And we've talked about that before. We've talked about, and I wasn't using this scripture or even thinking about the scripture when I gave that information, that God had called me to destroy systems. Call me, I'm saying me because the Jesus walking to the, you know, in front of all the people, right, in the synagogue, and in front of everyone, he said, he made it very plain of what he was called to do and that he was the Messiah. Right? That's what he had to do. I'm saying my job as a prophet, and I'm standing here before you today saying the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me and has ordained me as a prophet to the nations, because two witnesses doing their thing in hyper-evangelism, I've been an evangelist. I was born into the kingdom of God as an evangelist without even knowing what I was doing. Right? Some of you the same way. So because I was automatically evangelizing, you know, that was a part of my heart. I love to see people get born again, man. I love it. I did it for years, door to door, went into the streets, and you name it. And so, really amazing. And then when you mix that together with the prophet, then that word that the prophet lady gave me about an evangelist prophet or a prophet evangelism, it'll be my calling. I went, I kind of got, yeah, that makes sense. I didn't like the prophet part at the time, but, you know, but the evangelism thing, yeah, I love that. If I'm going to prophesy to people, build people up, then we can do that too. But that wasn't all there is to it. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations, right? That's what PGN, Randy Chandler, is my calling. And some of you are called to do that to a certain degree. All right? So right away, I'm going to skip on down here to the next verse. Then comes back his reply to God when God says, I've called you to be a prophet. Jeremiah says, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Some versions say that he didn't know how to present a message. Because he knew he knew how to speak, because he could talk to his friends, he could talk to people. The same thing with me exactly, and some of you. In high school, I couldn't, you know, I could talk to my friends on the side, you know, talk all the time. I knew how to talk. But when it came before people, I couldn't talk. So I can really relate to this. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. So I did a little research today on his age, and some people think he was 17. Some people think he was 20. I think the 20 because that's what I was. When I was 20 years old, I started realizing I was called to the ministry and argued with God, going, I can't speak to people. I've never been able to speak to people in front of people. I can talk, like, you know, one-on-one all day long. But when it comes to standing up in front of people, like, that's what prophets do, is they prophesy to people, you know, groups and nations. And when he heard the word nations, he's going, like, I can't even talk to one person, hard to God. And you want me to, I can't do it. And that's exactly what I told God. You know, I'm going, like, okay, God, I think we have a big mistake going on there, because you know me. You know, you were with me there when I was a heathen in high school and couldn't give speeches, and I couldn't give a speech in the football, you know, Coliseum and the gym and that for a game, and I couldn't even do it. Couldn't even talk. I just couldn't speak, I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to give speeches. I didn't know how to do that. And so when Jeremiah was saying that, he said, I'm a youth, I still don't know how to speak to people, because I haven't learned how to speak to people publicly. How am I going to do this? And that's, friend, I'm telling you, that is exactly, precisely what I've gone through. And some of you maybe have had the same thing exactly, right? So it wasn't about stuttering so much as it was about not being able to speak, to give a speech. I can talk. I just don't know how to give a speech. I think that's what he's saying. He said, I'm so young, God. So, and the Lord said, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. And that's exactly what I was going through. I don't know if you struggle with that, but, you know, I mean, I was afraid to go up and tell somebody, you know, they need to get saved, they might go to hell, if they don't, they need to get born again. You know, I wasn't afraid to tell them that. But when it came to things, the people in authority, like in the last few years, I've been going through a thing with you know, people in authority who have power in the legal system and money. And so, you know, over the years, God took lesser situations and taught me how to not fear what their faces look like. In other words, their disdain on you, looking down on you. So I really began to ask the Lord, you know, so thank you for teaching me that. Thank you for showing me not to be a suck-up, a man-pleaser, you know, pleasing man, but to please God. So he took years in forming that me and shaping me in me to where I don't, you know, like I stand before, you know, I stood before these people in the last four or five years, and they've said some pretty tough things to me, and I just come back with something. It just comes out of my mouth. Like, it's put in my mouth, and all of a sudden I find myself saying something that I didn't even have time to think about saying it. It just kind of came out of me. Because the Lord, he tells Jeremiah here, I put these words in your mouth. He said, I put my hand on your mouth, the words in your mouth. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, that is exactly what it is like. It's like, you know, when these people, when these high-level people would come to me and throw insulting words at me, like, we're going to put you in jail, we're going to do this, for nothing. I mean, it's not even, it didn't even make any sense, because there's nothing. I mean, you know, even back in my heathen days, you know, I sold some drugs back then, very little, just, you know, very little at all. I wasn't really a lawbreaker, you know, other than buying beer when I was 15 years old, stuff like that, and buying some dope, you know. But as far as a criminal, I just never had the criminal mentality. I never did. For some reason, I don't know, God spared me of that. So, you know, even much more now. I mean, what are they talking about? It didn't make any sense. It was an intimidation factor going on. And what would come out of my mouth was shocking me. I'm just going like, yeah, well, if I get it, you take me, put me in jail, I'll just have a jail ministry. That'd be awesome, man. We can have a phone number. 777-JAIL, call in, get a word or something. And I literally told him that. Yeah, literally told him that. And it just looked at me like I was an idiot and walked out. You know, this was a... Anyway, so I could go on and on about stuff like that. But so what I'm telling you this stuff is that not that I'm Mr. Courageous and have it all together. I don't. It's that the Lord puts the words in your mouth. He puts it in your mouth. And when he puts it in your mouth, you just have it there. It's not like you're talented and gifted with words, because you're not. What happens is he puts his word in you. All right. Where's that scripture at? He said, I put my hand upon your mouth. It's somewhere right there. I don't see it right here yet. But he said, I put my hand on your mouth and put the words in your mouth. I don't see it right in front of me right now, but it says that here, maybe it's in chapter 2, but friend, when God puts a word in your mouth, it comes out of your mouth at the right time when you least expect it. You don't know. It's not like I'm Mr. Mr. Cool. It's just the opposite of that. It's just you're stumbling around going, what am I going to say? And all of a sudden you say something, you go like, yeah, and that, you know, like whatever that was cool. Where'd that come from? He puts it in your mouth. He literally puts it in your mouth. It's not like you think of it or you do it. He literally puts his word in your mouth. You know Jeremiah here, I think maybe chapter 2, that says he put his hand on his mouth. Oh, no, here is verse 9. Oh, my gosh. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. There it is right there, right in front of me. Then the Lord put, verse 9, put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant. More of the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he starts asking what he sees. So he just kind of takes him a little trip, you know. And so it goes on and on and on. But I wanted to kind of touch base with you tonight. And I was so sad when I couldn't get on. It's like, devil, I bind you, Jesus. And so all of a sudden we're on. But it's so cool that I'm able to document this tonight. Because this is my Monday night message, was about Jeremiah and my personal identification to it, that like Jesus, when he walked into the I keep wanting to say temple for some reason, when he walked in, and he actually, what he did was, maybe I'm supposed to say temple, I don't know. when he walked to the temple and he said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that was, like I said in the very beginning, my big struggle with the Hercules story that I shared, the movie that I saw, where Hercules guy in this movie, until he acknowledged that he had special power, you know, and that God had given it to him, but he wasn't accepting it, until he accepted it and said it out loud, he was going to die. And then all of a sudden the power hits him when he said it. He finally breaks down and says, okay, man, I'm a Hercules or whatever the thing is. And so there's something about it, yielding to it, and saying, okay, God, I will let you do that. That activates it. And so he starts putting his words in your mouth. It's not like you're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that, oh, my God, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is so sensitive to God. And that's why they get, yeah, for some people, I think for all of us to a certain degree, it's true. But with this thing I'm talking about here, it is a whole different thing. He puts his words in your mouth, literally. He puts them in your mouth. I want to kind of break that down for you tonight, kind of share with you some of the things the Lord has shown me. Let's re-look at this real quick. Before you were in your womb, I love that part about I knew you before you were in the womb. What he's trying to say is I have fellowship. God is trying to say I have fellowship with people in their spirit before they ever sent them in, before they ever became a baby, before they ever become a human being. I've talked to them. I know them. Like they sat down and had some, you know, had a cup of tea together or whatever. Yeah. And he knew them. I've seen that 100 times, y'all. But today, when I heard that person talk about that, just kind of mentioned it. And I thought, yeah, I want to look at that. So I went and looked at that. And they weren't saying any of this. They were just talking. They were just saying the scripture. They weren't even, identifying. I think they were prophesying something about it. But the Lord said, I want you to go look at the scripture and look at it. And so when I did, oh, my God. You talk about energy coming into my being, man. Like, wow. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. So, Michael the Archangel, I'm trying to also connect with everybody afresh and anew. We've talked about all this stuff before, but to put it in a package, you know, the calling of God on my personal life, and of course my personal calling has to do with what we do with PGN, right? So that's why I'm bringing it to you tonight and kind of sharing with you as a family so you can identify with it. And so Michael was, the reason God connected with Michael is because when I'm doing the thing God's called me to do, it's going to be very, he's going to cast down Satan out of heaven, and Satan's going to come to earth, and he's going to enter the Antichrist. Part of my job is to, torment the Antichrist and a lot of his stuff he's doing, to tear down and pull down and root out, to pull down, to destroy and to throw down. Right, so that God can replant and build over again. So that's part of my job, is to because that's why God connected with Michael, because when Michael came to visit me in the dream, he didn't say a word to me. He just sat there like he had his window rolled down. He was an executive, a black executive car sitting in the back. And I didn't see who was driving him. I didn't know. And I didn't see any of that. I just saw him get that wavy, dark hair. And he's looking at me, just staring at me. And it was scary because I knew it was Michael in the dream, you know, things. You know, I knew it was Michael, the archangel. So I did not know he was the head angel of Israel. I did not know that at the time. A friend of mine told me that about that later, told me about that later. And so I'm going like, oh, my God. So I started putting all the, linking it all together with Michael, the archangel, cast down Satan out of heaven. You know, he's checking me out because he's going like, this is the guy I'm going to be working with. This guy, like Chandler, you know, he's really looking at me like, what is so profit about this guy? You know, I mean, I don't know if he never, I didn't know what he was thinking. I don't know anything. All I know is that he was staring a hole through me and checking me out because now I'm starting to see, now I'm starting to understand a little bit that our callings kind of intermingle together. I'm called to Israel. One of the main things I'm called to do. And prophet to the nations, but mainly, and all the prophecy about nations and the prophesied over nations is basically about going on with Israel, because all the nations are going to rise up against Israel, right? So the reason he said Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations, and that I'm a prophet to the nations, is that literally we're going to go there and prophesy to them, you know, you need to bow the knee to Israel, to God. Be careful what you do with Israel, right? Be careful what you do with Israel. And so... So we're going to be, I know Michael works with me. I don't see him working for me in my behalf, but I know that when he connected with me, he checked me out. He could see things I can't see. He saw the calling of God in my life. He saw the mantle of my life, the abilities that God put in me to do things. He put his word in my mouth. And he could see that, I guess. I really don't know. I'm just guessing. He could see that. And he's going like, okay, well, yeah. Okay. He needs a lot of help. He can give him a lot of help, God. Okay, he'll work. And so, you know, so we're going to work together. And one of the jobs is to he's going to cast Satan down out of heaven into the earth. And Satan is going to enter the Antichrist, enter Nathaniel Rothschild, Nathaniel Victor James Rothschild. Going to enter him, and Nathaniel Rothschild will become, you know, the devil, like Jesus, like Judas becomes Satan. Judas became the devil. That's what Jesus said. So, so that's going to all work together, and you know, this should be crazy, right? You guys wouldn't have listened to this probably, you know, 10 years ago, but now since you've seen some of the stuff go on, now I can share a little bit more with you, some of it, and. So I can share a little bit with you, a little bit more. I'm downloading a little bit more tonight. I'm documenting a little bit more. If anybody listens to it, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But, it's not important, you know. But God will have whoever's supposed to, they will listen. So, friend, you know, not only am I talking this out to the world who can hear this, and to people who say they like me, say they're on my side, they're not really on my side. You have some of that everywhere you go. I've always had that. Everybody always has that. You know, we're telling this to everybody tonight. That's why I'm making a declaration is important, like what I'm doing tonight. I'm saying, like, Jesus walked into the temple, into the synagogue, and he said, you know, the Lord has anointed me, and I am this guy. And that's kind of what I'm saying to that. I am this guy. I'm not Jeremiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not Moses. I'm Randy, but I'm Randy who God has called to do these things. And yes, the spirit of Elijah is upon me. That's a fact. And I don't think I've ever said that before either, because I've avoided that. But the spirit of Elijah is upon me. It is upon me. And I think it's upon a lot of people. I don't know. I don't know who all gets what. I don't really know which one of you guys have the same thing. I'm not sure. But the spirit of Elijah is upon me. And I'll tell you later why I know that for sure. And it's going to shock you, probably. I don't know. But I'm going to give it to you in spoonfuls so you can, you know, chew on it and get a hold of it and not reject it or think, you know, because you surely by now, if you've been keeping up with what's been going on with me personally, you know, not just only the market stuff, but I was asking with the world financial system. We're also going to be dealing with the world financial system prophetically. Been doing that already to a certain degree. That's what that mantle's about. It's not just to get money, the body of Christ. It is to deal with the financial realm of the body of Christ and the globe. One world financial system, with the mantle God has given me, I will personally be dealing with them in a very heavy way. Some of them already know who I am. You know, I don't know who's who and who's what and all that, good, bad, I don't know. I don't really care. It doesn't make any difference. Like, you know who they are? I don't know. I don't think it matters, personally. But that's what that mantle was for. When the angel came to me in 2005, January 11, 2005, and said, there's a massive merger coming, which meant what's happening now, the financial, the banking system, all of it, merging together to make the one world system with the Antichrist, you know, going to be running it. Of course, they're bankers. That's what makes Nathan Rothschild, you know, qualify for sure, is because his whole family's bankers. You talk about another point toward Nathaniel and the Rothschilds being the Antichrist, it's because they're bankers. What do bankers do? They're going to set up a system, a financial system, the banking system. Can't buy or sell without their approval, right? See, that ought even to make sense to some of you who struggle with this. That ought to really make a real big sense. You know, that ought to really open you up to. So can you prophesy over Israel tonight? I don't know if I'm going to prophesy over Israel tonight. I am prophesying over Israel. This is prophesying over Israel. What do you mean? Yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what this is. Okay. Thank you for asking, but yeah, that's exactly what that is. Okay, so the mantle about the financial mantle that God gave and the connection he gave me to that, these people already know who I am, like I said earlier, you know, because of the people that I've given words to, the people I've been connected with, the good people. Some of them may be bad. I don't know who else is good and bad yet. But I've had phone calls from some major people, big people, not more than one, not just, you know, I can't give any details or anything. But part of the mantle is to bring destruction. See, they're not going to like this. They're not going to, they don't believe it anyway. They don't think, you know, what can he do, you know? Right. Well, I can do nothing. But when God gives a word about the mark of the beast, the financial part of it, we will definitely mess that up. Some of you who've been keeping up, we've already been messing that up. Did you know we've already been messing up the system? Did you know that? Anybody know that? Somebody knows that? Somebody cares? Yeah, you do. You care. No, you care. We've already been messing it up. Yeah, we've been messing it up for a while. Anybody want to know how? Somebody wants to know how. Okay. Swung the sword. The sword is cool. That sword had to do with with Trump. That sword had to do with Hillary Clinton being removed at the time. That's what that sword was about. It's a lot more than that. But the sword had to do at that time because the Antichrist was being about to be revealed, and God had me prophesy against it to hinder it. So in other words, Trump being president, even though I didn't get a word about Trump being president, the fact that he told me Hillary Clinton would be taken out, that was the sword. Hillary Clinton being taken out, y'all, what's the sword? Does that make sense? Y'all remember that word? I saw Trey Gowdy. I saw a vision of Trey Gowdy and Elijah Cummings. And the Lord told me that they were going to take her out. Now, I don't think he meant Trey Gowdy and Elijah Cummins were going to take her out, but I think they had a part to do with it. I give them the credit for that. But I think they had a part to do with it. But the main thing is that the Lord, the sword of the Lord, was saying that Hillary Clinton would be take that they would take Hillary Clinton out. And that was a process that happened through James Comey and others. The whole process was just more than one person. Trey Gowdy and Elijah Cummins were a part of it. Barack Obama was a part of it, believe it or not. Didn't look like he was, but he was. And also, you know, James Comey and others. So, but that's what that sword was. One of the manifestations of the demon screaming was the Antichrist is getting ready to manifest back when Hillary was going to run for president, or did run for president. When Trump came in, that was interfered with for 4 years because of the sword of the Lord. That's what that was. When the Lord went after Hillary, saying they will take her out, remember that? I get that word many times, long time ago. Way before Hillary ever decided to run for president, we gave that word. I shared it right here on PGN. So because we gave that word, that was the sword of the Lord. He was hindering the next level. And plus, there's some other things to it, too. I've talked about all of it back then, but it's kind of too much to talk about right now. I'm trying to stay focused on some things. So the sword of the Lord was going after Hillary. And that's when Trump... I can say that Trump came in because of the sword of the Lord. Yeah, Trump came in because of the sword of the Lord. Gave us three and a half, four more years, and then Biden. Then came Biden riding down the road. Said, brothers, I'm getting really old. Oh, yeah, let me sing a little song to you. I'm getting old. So, old Biden, lovely guy, I'm sure he was a great guy. He couldn't even get in any presidential election early. He was the first one out every time. Ain't no way he was going to make it. Ain't no way. It was a miracle of God. What God was intervening and getting ready to bring forth the next level. What I'm very, very heavily involved in. Very heavily involved in. Well, they said I'll tell you the whole thing, but you're getting enough of that to blow your mind, I think. Very heavily involved in this. So all the warfare I've been going through, the people backstabbing me, undermining me, you know, all the stuff that's gone on, it has been nothing but training. It's been a Joseph and his brother thing. Training. I went through 5 years of it with that, with my, you know, father-in-law. God bless him. I'm a powerful man. I'll never forget that. I'm a powerful man. But I exposed sin in the family, right? And did it privately, but, you know, and then I took it to another levels when they denied and they kept lying. Then I think it went to different levels. It sure did. Yes, it did. But that's God's business and not y'all's. Some of you stuck your nose in that. Watch out. Yeah, I did take it to another level because they were rejecting it. And God was saying, take it to the next level, so I took it to the next level. Right. So you got a problem with that. You might have talked to God about that because he will definitely straighten your hide out on that. All right. So be careful what you say and what you do. At the same time, all the interference, you know, God used all of it to train me, so I'm not really mad at anybody. Honestly, I'm really not. I'm a little disappointed in some ways, but yeah, at the same time, like, you know, God chooses who he wants to choose, man. Who am I to say? You can't use God. No, you can't use my friends. No, you can't use them. No, use some really, you know, people far away. Use Peter, right, to cause Jesus to struggle. Yeah, Biden, yeah, he's 85, something like that. So that's how the sword of the Lord interfered with that. But here's how the sword of the Lord has dealt with the financial realm a little bit. Because when God gave me words and told me what the market is going to do, and I spoke it, that was the sword of the Lord. When you speak the word, when God puts the word in your mouth, and he says, the market's going to do this and this, what did God do? He I don't want to say he took control of it. I don't know how to say what he did, but I don't know how he does it, honestly. I wish I could say. All I do is get used. I just get used. Good, bad, ugly, I just get used. You got to get used to that. If you don't get used to that, you're not going to make it. If he decides to use you, just thank him. Don't be complaining. So he used me. He used me to speak certain details over the market, and somehow that step, that somehow it's proved that God, like with the plagues of Moses, God proved that the plagues were in control of Moses, or it looked like control of Moses. But it really wasn't controlled with God. But, you know, but Moses would say, by this time tomorrow, it's going to hit. And they say a few days later, okay, now by this time tomorrow, it's going to end. So God was using Moses to show Pharaoh and the world that he's in control of that. So what God did with me through the market when he gave specific market information was saying that, you know, in 32 weeks, it'll be 3,200. That was just one of many. And so when it went to 3,200 exactly, everybody knew that nobody could do that.